Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll get to your phone calls and more in the second half of the show here this morning, but we've got a great guest here in studio with us on Montana Talks here in the first half of the program. I first heard this gentleman's name probably over 20 years ago. I heard it through some great friends in Missoula, Montana, Jeff and Deb Greer, and all the great folks, Dan Rosted out in Big Timber, all these great folks who are a big part of the Montana Prayer Breakfast, and they were telling me about the National Prayer Breakfast, and I think one of the speakers back then was Ambassador Tony Hall, a former Democrat member of Congress out of the state of Ohio, and they just said, this guy is just incredible, and some of the work that he's gotten to do. Anyway, we've got Ambassador Tony Hall in the house with us. He just spoke at the Community Prayer Breakfast in Billings earlier this morning. Ambassador, great to see you.
Aaron, it's great to be with you. Thank you.
Can't believe it's I first heard your name over 20 years ago, and I'm just now finally getting to meet you.
It's been a long time.
You know, the National Prayer Breakfast and this whole concept of doing, you know, whether it's a mayor's prayer breakfast or a governor's prayer breakfast, really a big part of that effort really started here in Montana. I think Butte, Montana, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I think it started in 1960. And it started from a guy by the name of Abram Verady. Actually, he was in, I think, Oregon for a while. And then it came here. And then, you know, they decided to take it to Washington, D.C. and to be part of the national leadership. And I think the first prayer breakfast, matter of fact, I know, was with President Eisenhower. And he had said that when he was the supreme commander during World War II, that, you know, he felt that there was something special going on with him, you know, with these prayers especially. And when he became president of the United States, he felt, you know, this is the loneliest job in the world. And his best friend was Senator Carlson from Kansas. And that's where, of course, President Eisenhower was from. And President Eisenhower said, you know, why don't you come over to the White House and tell me about what you're doing, Senator? And they started talking about it. He says, you know, we have a group in the Senate that gets together, and we pray together, and there's quite a few of us, and we'd like for you to come down, and we'll pray with you, and we'll read the scripture. And the House of Representatives found out about it, and they said, look, if the president's coming down, we want to be part of that. And, you know, to make a long story short, that was the start of the first prayer breakfast.
Yeah, wow. And it's really been, you know, there's not too many things that are truly bipartisan anymore. And not even so much bipartisan, but, I mean, you get world leaders of multiple faiths and some crazy backgrounds that all get together for the National Prayer Breakfast and more. All right. Well, looking forward to catching up with Ambassador Tony Hall, former Democrat member of Congress out of Ohio as well. He was actually appointed ambassador to the United Nations Agencies for Food and Agriculture by then President George W. Bush. Lots to talk about. I heard his speech this morning. It was incredible. So stand by.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, let's jump right back into it here with Ambassador Tony Hall. In February 2002, President George W. Bush asked him to serve as the United States Ambassador to the United Nations Agencies for Food and Agriculture. Ambassador, I'm sure you're probably aware of this. The United Nations is kind of a bad word. That's kind of like a cuss word here in Montana. But what a remarkable position for you to get assigned to. You actually pull that microphone up just a little bit more if you don't. There we go. You actually were stationed in Rome. You served as an ambassador in Rome. That had to be incredible.
Right. And, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but the largest UN organizations are really in Rome. And the World Food Program is actually the largest humanitarian organization in the world. And, you know, they feed somewhere between 150 and 175 million people a year. The other thing that most people don't understand from the United States is the United States, of those 150 million people that are fed, about half of them are fed from the United States. And it comes from our grain. And I think Americans should be proud of that. I mean, I'll never forget when I was in Italy, the prime minister said, you know, a lot of people were mad at America at that time because of our war in Iraq. They said, look, never forget about Americans, because you remember the Marshall Plan after World War II. Americans came to us and they helped us. They've always helped us. And so we feed the world and we help the world. And never forget that.
Not just through government programs, but, you know, Lance Lanning from Provision International was one of the folks who gave a prayer today at the prayer breakfast that you spoke at. And, I mean, voluntarily, people just giving their peas, their lentils, entire Connexes. I mean, America, where would the rest of the world be without America?
That's right. That's right. And the other thing that we do, and I was very proud of, is that I would really push that on every bag of grain, that we would have the flag of the United States on the bag and in the language of the country, whether it was in the Congo or whether it was in Ethiopia, in their language. And we would say, in their language, donated by the people of the United States and the flag of our country. So, you know, it's part of our country. It's part of our goodwill. And people never forget that.
You shared some stories this morning. Before you were at this UN assignment as ambassador, you were a member of Congress, and so you went to Ethiopia. I remember when I was a little kid, and we all remember the Sally Struthers, please donate to help the kids in Ethiopia videos, but you actually went to Ethiopia. You were there when you just saw a sea of people, and you described it this morning where people were handing you their babies because you had to decide who was going to live and who was going to die.
Yep. I was with a doctor, and I was with Mother Teresa's group, Sisters of Charity, and there was a civil war going on in Ethiopia at the time, and it was my job in Congress. I was the head of a committee that had a lot to do with international hunger, and so I was visiting, trying to understand what this famine was all about. I couldn't understand, how can 7,000 people be dying every day in a country? And so I went with this group of missionaries, Mother Teresa's group, and we were up country, and about 10,000 people were just running for their lives. And some of them had been running for, you know, over 100 miles, and they were just dehydrated, without food, sick, and they just laid down and started to moan. And a doctor who was there, he said, come with me outside. I want to show you something, because there was just this little clinic, probably twice as big as this room that we're in, which is not a big room. And that was it, because these people had come thinking there was going to be food and medicines and all kind of stuff. And there was hardly anything there. He says, look, there's 10,000 people out there. They're all dying. He says, I have to go out and pick. Come with me. We're going to pick four or five people, mostly children. And maybe we can save them. The rest are going to die.
Wow.
So we went out and walked among them, and people, they thought I was a doctor, and they're handing me their dead children. Hmm. And I saw about 25 children die that within probably 15 minutes. I thought, geez, I never got over that.
Yeah.
And,
can't imagine the impact that had on your life and then the rest of your career. You know, it's interesting what's going on with the world right now and with food and with agriculture. A lot of our farmers and ranchers here in Montana feel like organizations like the UN or at least the World Economic Forum, like they're deliberately targeting agriculture. They're going to make it harder to feed the world. And so it's a real concern that folks back here in agriculture have, that they're actually being targeted to produce less food. And so we could be seeing, you know, severe famines like you just described.
We are. And you know, with the war in Ukraine and Ukraine and Russia, I mean, they produce so much grain and food that a good portion of that is causing a lot of the famines that's going on in the world today as well.
Right now. And then imagine how much worse it could be if we have less agri-production, you know, deliberate, you know, withdrawal in Canada or in America or in Europe because of various mandates. You said something very shocking today. I think we were all just floored. We were just shocked. You said you found Jesus in Congress. Usually you'd think it'd be the other way around, you know, like, or maybe we just lose faith in some of the folks that go back to Washington. But anyway, I thought that was such an eye-opening line. We got about 20 seconds before we go to the break. But
well, everybody laughed when I said that. And somebody hollered up and said, make up your mind, buddy. You can't be both. You can't be both a congressman and a Christian.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Well, the Ambassador Tony Hall here, he mentioned Mother Teresa's organization. He actually got to work with and alongside Mother Teresa. So he's got some incredible stories. Plus, there was something else he said that I think is very symbolic for what is facing our country right now. So more to follow right after this.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, remarkable career when you look through Ambassador Tony Hall's bio here. I mean, he's been all over the world. I think we talked a little bit about Africa. He talked about the Middle East this morning. He's had several visits to North Korea. You know, it's a rarity for any American to step foot on North Korean soil, but he's done it. And in fact, Ambassador Tony Hall, you were telling me you were actually delivered American aid with an American flag into North Korea. And so, yeah, what an incredible career. What were we talking about right before the break? I think we mentioned how you had worked with Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa. I've met her a number of times, and she's probably the greatest person I ever met. I mean, you talk about a saint. And the first time I met her was in Calcutta. And, she took me downtown to, in the worst part of Calcutta, where people were just living on the street, living on sidewalks, and living practically on top of one another. And there was a man, that looked like he was dead. He looked dead to me, and but he wasn't. He was just barely breathing. And she got some of the men with us to take her back to her hospice, and I went with her and followed her and was with her all day. And she began to wash him off and kind of pray over him, whisper to him. She came back to me later in the day. She said, "Look, not everybody can come to Calcutta like you. You need to go back, Congressman, to America and tell people to do the thing that's in front of them." And that's always stayed with me. Do the thing that's in front of you. And what she was saying was that if everybody would do the thing that's in front of them, feed people, give money, smile, help the next door neighbor, probably half the stuff we do in the government we wouldn't need to do, because everybody would be taking care of the problem that's in front of them. And she said, do the thing that's in front of them.
That's a great line. It kind of reminds me, isn't there a Bible verse about why don't you want to grow where you've been planted? Something to that effect, too. Because we always get, it was like that Tool Time home improvement episode where when at home, man dreams of adventure. When on adventure, man dreams of home. Well, do the thing that's in front of you. That's that's fascinating. I shared a Mother Teresa story, and my pastor, who is actually there today, Pastor Alex Che, his parents escaped North Korea. He's Korean-American, and he, in one of his sermons one time, talked about Mother Teresa, and she was interviewed before she passed away, probably 60 Minutes or somebody. I told this story in Scobie, Montana here recently, but she was basically asked by these reporters, well, you know, you've dedicated your life to fighting poverty, and yet we still have poverty. Do you feel like your life was a failure? Something to that effect. And she says, I didn't come here to win. I came here to serve. Something to that effect.
Yeah. Well, that's the way she was. I mean, I remember a reporter asked her once, don't you think what you do is a drop in the bucket? And she said, no, what I do is a drop in the ocean. But if I didn't do it, it'd be one less drop. When I first met her, she didn't say, hi, how are you? What's your name? She grabbed my hand, and she grabbed this right hand, and she grabbed all five fingers. She said, I want you to always remember. And she took each, started with the thumb, for the least of these, right out of Matthew 25. That's the first thing she said to me. She didn't say, hello, get lost, drop dead. She said,
get in
for
line.
The least of these. That's the first thing she said.
Wow. That's remarkable. And I think about that, too. Some of the other folks that were in the room at this community prayer breakfast this morning that was emceed by the mayor of Billings, Lance Lanning, was there, Provision International. And, man, his organization, they're doing all this type of work all over the world. By the way, you're going to be in Great Falls tomorrow for another prayer breakfast there. So for folks who are here in Ambassador Hall, if you're listening in Great Falls right now, you'll be there tomorrow morning. So that's great.
Looking forward to it.
On another note here, you know, you see what's going on in America right now, and I think about it, you know, there's lots of National Day of Prayer events going on. There's a, you know, prayer breakfast in Billings today, Great Falls tomorrow. There's on Thursday at the steps of the Yellowstone County Courthouse, there's going to be a prayer gathering there. There's a lot of things to pray for. There's a lot of things we could be praying for right now. What do you think people, what do you think people could pray for specifically right now?
Well, we need to pray for our leaders. You know, it says in 1 Timothy, we need to pray for our leaders, kings, people in authority. Why? Why would we pray for our leaders? Are they better than us? No. You pray for our leaders because it goes on to say in the scriptures that so that the people, which is us, can live peaceful and tranquil lives in all godliness and goodness. And you pray for the leaders so that the people can live better lives. And, you know, when you look around the world, the famines, the tsunamis, the arguments, the lack of bipartisanship, you know, people are not really praying for their leaders. We need to do a better job of that. And God says do that. And so we need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray.
Whether you agree with them or not. Right?
Whether you agree with them or not. And I thought that you made an amazing prayer today. Pray for our enemies. You know, that's not easy to do, to pray for our enemies and to pray for those people that are against us. I pray for my family and friends. I pray right out of John 17. I pray for three things that Jesus prayed for. And he says that when he prayed for his disciples, he prayed for three things, that they'd be protected in his name, the name of Jesus. But number two, that they'd be kept from the evil one. They'd be kept from Satan. And number three, that they would be sanctified, which means set apart for the work. And I pray those three things almost every day for my family. And so that's what I pray for.
You talk about praying for our leaders. You shared a great a line that you first learned in Africa this morning. When the elephants fight, the grass dies.
Yeah.
You can just see it. You can see what's happening in America right now, where America's gigantic leaders are just clashing on everything.
Yeah.
Or major movements are these campus clashes that are going on right now. Things that we didn't even imagine fighting over 20, 30 years ago, we're now clashing over.
Yeah. When I was in Congress, you know, my best friend, I'm a Democrat, he's a Republican, Congressman Frank Wolf. We met together every week. We traveled together. Our wives were good friends. We prayed together. We read scripture. And we were best friends. And we never got in an argument. And there are some members of Congress that are really praying together and doing that. And you don't hear about it very, very much, but we need a lot more of that. We really do. And we need leaders led by God. We really do.
You've got a friend of your, longtime friend of yours, traveling with you. Can I give away his age? Is he in his 90s? Did I hear right?
No.
Okay. strong no. 88. All right. Longtime professional golfer Jim Hiskey. Now, the reason I joked about 90s, though, because I asked him, you know, since I knew he was close to 90, I said, oh, did you go to high school with my friend Dan Rosted out of Big Timber? Because I always got to give Dan a hard time, you know. So. But he's a longtime professional golfer. He'll be with you tomorrow, traveling alongside with you. But he was telling me this story. You went through a 22-day fast.
Yeah.
Water only. For 22 days, all you did was drink water. And you did it while you were serving in Congress.
I did.
And you survived.
Yeah, I did. I survived. I was mad at Congress because they eliminated the committee that dealt with hunger and humanitarian work. And I was mad and so disappointed. I went home and told my wife, I said, I think I'm just going to quit Congress because these people, they don't care. And she said, did you ever think about fasting? And we went and read Isaiah 58, which is a great chapter on fasting. And I said, you mean, are you crazy? You know, I wanted to say that to my
Another
wife.
Another one on the honey-do list. Thanks, honey. Right? Yeah.
And so the next day, you know, after reading it and after calling a few friends and praying about it, I went on a fast. And I told the Congress that I was going to fast until something good happened. And there were like 30 TV cameras there. And I thought, this guy is crazy. This guy's nuts. It's never going to work. My staff said, nobody, you know, your district is never going to elect you again because they're going to think you're nuts.
I'd get a little grumpy, too, about one day into it.
Well, the first 7 days was difficult. Anyway, to make a long story short, 10,000 high schools fasted with me. 200 universities. They didn't fast for 22 days like I did, but a lot of good things happened. And to make a long story short, the World Bank called me and said, would you come and make a speech? And we were moved. We've been reading in the New York Times and the Washington Post, and CBS has been reporting this. And if you make a speech, we might do something. So I went and made a speech, and they put $100 million behind the fast. And I thought, this is time for me to stop my fast.
Wow.
This
is really, $100 million raised. It was
all,
of that.
And it all went to mostly women in third world nations to start their own businesses. And they've paid the money back with interest. And now that fund is up to $500 million.
Kind of like those micro lending that we hear about.
That's what, yeah, exactly,
I've heard that's
what it
been
was.
Very, very successful. Well, Ambassador Tony Hall, former Congressman Tony Hall, it's an honor to finally get to meet you and hear you. And I know folks in Great Falls are going to look forward to getting a chance to pray with you tomorrow as well. About 30 seconds or so to go. What do you want to tell folks all across Montana?
Pray for leaders and do the things in front of you.
You shared a great story, too. You mentioned going to Washington and that, or going to Congress, and that's when you found Jesus. So then you started talking to your wife about Jesus, and she didn't want to hear it, but she saw Jesus in you, and that's when she found Jesus.
Yeah, that's true. And I tried to push her and say, now, do you want to receive Jesus today? And she got real mad at me. and for one whole year, I you know, tried to push it on her. And she taught me my first lesson. You can't push faith. You cannot push faith down people's throats. And I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. And so she taught me a good lesson.
Well, Ambassador, so great to see you. So great to see you. The young man over here, Jim Hiskey, as well. So safe travels to Great Falls. Say hello to all our friends tomorrow morning as well.
Thanks, Aaron.
All right, quick break here on Montana Talks. We've got the phone lines open for you. Anything and everything you want to talk about. In fact, I got to share this story out of Liberty University, and since we're talking college campuses next.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordland.
Idaho cattle producer Kim Brackett recently became the policy division chair for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. And one policy area that she is passionate about includes advocating for ranchers who graze on public lands.
I do sometimes wonder about our members who do run on only private lands, because I think they probably get really tired of hearing about all the problems we face on public lands. But if you look at how many times we're litigated on public lands, the environmental groups know that if they can make inroads on public lands, then they can roll that out to private lands down the road. So it is important. I think it oftentimes is a precursor for what's coming across the country. Sharing with those membership, NCBA membership, the battles that we're fighting on ESA especially, and being able to maybe develop a roadmap to address some of those issues that the environmental groups are throwing at us, whatever it might be. I think the other part about the public lands is it really gives us an opportunity to speak with our decision makers here in DC about what we are doing as public lands managers that's considered conservation.
Brackett said it's essential for decision makers to understand the role that ranchers in Montana and across the West play in managing and taking care of those public lands they're allowed to graze on for a short period each year. I'm Lane Nordland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, we got phone lines open for you. You know, we had so many great phone calls on the show yesterday, but we didn't get to everybody. We ran out of time. So thankfully, I see we've got Susan in Missoula on the phone lines. We'll get to you here in a second. And then we got John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, sidekicking with us here during our open phone segment. John, great to see you. First off, you know, we just had a great conversation with Ambassador Tony Hall talking about these community prayer breakfasts that are taking place across the state. And, I know a lot of folks are lifting up some law enforcement officer families in their prayers right now. You're from North Carolina originally. You grew up there, and you're a retired federal law enforcement officer. Just a loss of several officers yesterday.
Yeah, really sad news to report out of Charlotte, North Carolina, my hometown. Yesterday, the U.S. Marshals Task Force served a warrant on a guy, and this resulted in a massive firefight in which, latest count now, this is varying hour by hour, but 8 police officers were shot, and now 4 of them are dead. And really, it's the worst massacre ambush of police officers in Charlotte, North Carolina, ever. And it might be the biggest one for the United States in the last few years. Just really, really sad stuff. And once again, this was very likely a career criminal that should not have been on the streets in the first place. Brought to you by the left-wing Democrat Party, Joe Biden, George Soros, and all of these left-wing mayors and DAs.
Yeah, it's so crazy. I mean, how many stories have we seen time and time again where it's a career criminal that are committing these violent, heinous acts? They shouldn't have been out on the streets in the first place. So crazy. One story I wanted to share real quick, and then we'll get into your phone calls here. I mentioned this just before the last break, but, you know, we see everything going on these left-wing college campuses, you know, attacking law enforcement, fighting with law enforcement, saying some of the worst things imaginable to law enforcement who are simply there to protect these Jewish students that are being threatened and harassed and in some cases assaulted. While college campuses across America continue erupting, students at one university have gathered to worship God and to honor Israel.
It was a far different scene on the campus of Liberty University in Virginia than that of campuses like Columbia University, where students have chanted, "We are Hamas." Instead, the students here sing. To cap off the end of their semester, students gathered to pray for their nation and read the Bible and what school officials say is stark contrast to the rage-filled and often angry protests that have become commonplace on the nation's campuses.
All right, there you go. That was a Fox News Radio report from earlier this morning. Could you imagine the gnashing of teeth if there was a flood of people flooding these college campuses, simply praying for safety, praying for our country, praying for Israel? Oh, the gnashing of teeth would just be all over the media, wouldn't it?
Well, people, what's not being talked about a lot is everybody's wondering, how can this happen? How can you have these all across the United States, these universities blowing up with all these chants of death to America and death to Israel and all this stuff and supporting a terrorist group? But then you saw at Columbia University over the weekend, who is forming the ring around the students, protecting them, trying to protect them from the police? It's the entire faculty of Columbia. How do you think they learn to act like this? They're being taught it by the very professors that work there.
Yeah, yeah. And professors, countless professors at these campuses are being arrested, and then they're yelling, "I'm a professor! I'm a professor!"
Oh, God, that was
well,
so
I'm
awesome.
A cop. Well, I'm a cop, so...
I need a cigarette after this video. I really did. I had to just sit down and smoke one real quick.
And he doesn't even smoke cigarettes. There you go. All right, well, let's go to... speaking of campus protests, did you guys see these masked-up pro-Hamas protesters on the UM campus? I think they said there was about 60 of them or so that were there protesting the event featuring Donald Trump Jr. and crew on the UM campus. Susan in Missoula, you were there. Hey, how was the event? Susan?
Well, actually, there were only about 12 that I know of that were protesting. There were 400 conservatives that were in the ballroom at the University of Montana. And I want to say the story was not the protesters. The more the media, even you who talked about the protesters, the more they are emboldened to talk, to do stuff. I was so impressed with the University of Montana. They kept everybody safe and happy. We had an unbelievably fantastic event. In fact, even the governor and his wife, Susan, said they had so much fun, and so did Zinke, Ryan Zinke and his wife, Lola. They go to hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of events in a year, and they said it was absolutely one of the best events they've ever been to.
Well, I'm glad President Bodnar didn't cave to the mob that was, trying to get him to cancel the event.
No, I mean, the story, honestly, Eric, the story was not those dingbats that were there. They're dingbats. They shouldn't be given, you shouldn't even be talking about them, because the message that came across, there were 400 God-loving, country-loving, wonderful people. And when I led the group in honoring the veterans that were in the group, every table in the ballroom had at least two veterans at each table stood up. And we asked those veterans to lead us in saying the Pledge of Allegiance. It gave everyone in the room chills.
I'll bet. Well, yeah, it looked just like an incredible event. It was. I was thankful to Peter Christian for sharing the audio so we could highlight the remarks of Don Jr. and Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy on the show yesterday. I get your point about simply ignoring those protesters, but I think they need to be exposed. I think they need to be mocked. I think the Democrat Party in Montana needs to be held accountable, because I think if we can try to ignore them all they want, but we need to mock them and the mainstream media that covers these guys as if they're somehow these heroes when they're not. That's my take. John Jackson, your thoughts?
If they come out into the, like Ron White said, into the public, they're out into the public and disrupting something like that, smash them like a grape. If they are on campuses, on their very left-wing campuses in left-wing cities, disrupting all of the left-wing Democrats' activities, I love that, Adam Schiff. I love that all day long. More.
The monster, biting the zookeeper that's been feeding them all these years.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think it's worth exposing just how absurd they are. This entitled white middle-aged liberal professor's kid was leading the chants in support of the Hamas terrorists, and he calls us fascists. He calls Donald Trump Jr. fascists. It's like, you guys are literally defending and joining the campus protesters and rioters that are harassing Jews. I mean, my goodness.
Did you see this one? It looked like he was some kind of professor who got up there at Columbia the other day. They gave him the microphone. And he said, okay, guys, if we could just, be nicer. And we really don't need to use that phrase of from the river to the sea. It's very divisive, and it goes against our principles. And then he hands the mic back to the leader of the protest. And this girl grabs the mic and just goes, from the river to the sea. And everybody, from the river to the sea. They just punked this guy.
Cult-like chant.
Punk it right to his face, like, screw you, Dr. Frankenstein, we're the monster now, we run this place.
Cult-like chants, and they don't even know which river or which sea, but there they are calling for genocide, basically. Yeah, they're crazy. Dylan in Lodgegrass. Hey, Dylan, great to hear from you.
Morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Long time no talk.
I know, it's great to hear from you.
Likewise. Hey, I just want to say thank you again for what you guys did with the American Prosperity down here at the Littlehorn Market in Lodgegrass. That was pretty awesome.
That was incredible. I talk about that trip everywhere we go. It was so incredible. We met so many incredible people, and there was, man, I can't tell you how. And then getting to meet Mayor Quincy afterwards and Coach Stewart down there, you, your family. I mean, I actually mentioned you guys. They asked me to give one of the prayers this morning, and a big part of that was praying for Lodgegrass and a prayer of thanks for great leaders like you guys down there.
Well, hey, we really appreciate that. We need all the prayers we can get. So speaking of prayer, too, I was wanting to mention just, when Paul wrote that line there in Timothy about praying for government and everything in there, he was talking about the one of the worst rulers that Rome ever had, Nero, you know, and it was eventually Nero that martyred Paul by, you know, he beheaded him and stuff. You know, so that's, you know, under a, it doesn't matter what government you have, if it's oppressive or if it's, you know, like a, you know, Trump 16 to 20, I mean, it's a, you know, whether it's amazing or not. So, but we do have to pray for our leaders, doesn't matter who they are.
And Ambassador Hall mentioned it. When I prayed for our enemies, I basically prayed that these drug dealers and these drug cartels, you know, that they'd have their hearts turned and they'd turn away from their wicked ways, because they're targeting people right in your neighborhood in Lodgegrass. Dylan, stand by. Quick break. Want to come back to you after this.
EDO. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, great. Caught up with Dylan in Lodgegrass a little bit more during the break there, and he also wanted to say, hey, pray for these families in Charlotte, North Carolina as well. Dylan, you had one other topic you wanted to throw out there, water rights concerns on the Crow Reservation.
Yeah, so I heard the other day, and I don't know a lot of information about it. I didn't get a chance to actually look it up and see exactly what's going on with it. But I know there's an petition or something for an injunction going on to try to stop this lawsuit or something by the Crow tribe that's wanting to restrict water rights for any deeded land or any basically non-tribal land. So those in Bighorn County, just or with any land on the reservation, just say, hey, get onto this deal and try to figure out and fight that. I mean, there's nothing racial about it. You need to have access to your water rights.
Just a water rights issue, yes. Yeah, so be advised that something may be in the works. All right. Hey, thanks for the heads up. Thanks for the call. And, Dylan, again, so great seeing you guys down there. That was just an incredible experience being down there for that live show that we did from Lodgegrass here recently. All right, let's go to another caller, Mark in Billings. Mark, what's on your mind?
Oh, okay. Hey, I was thinking, somebody was talking to me the other day, and they said that they were talking about, you know, the current political climate and the way we're pretty polarized. And they said people that want to follow Christ or believe in God, their life should be picture an XY axis, and on one of them is humility and the other one's hope. And where do we fit on that? We should be like way out there, but a lot of us are short on humility or short on hope, you know. I mean,
but full of fear, right?
Right, and it was just an interesting concept to think about. But anyway,
no,
I throw that out.
Hey, that's interesting. Yeah, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. John Jackson, man, your thoughts on what all's been discussed thus far before I get to Linda in Valier.
Well, what I always come back to when people start talking about when they start merging faith into politics, remember what Jesus did in the temple. He didn't walk in there and say, come on, guys, let's stop this here. He turned over the temples and started whipping people, okay? You know, Jesus knew when it was time to pick up the stick. And we have to know that as well.
Yeah, and of course, that's because they were defiling the temple, profiting off of it, et cetera. Yeah. That's it. Well, and that was kind of the other question I had. It was funny. I was talking with my wife. I was like, because a friend next to me at the prayer breakfast was like, well, what, you know, you're one of the guys that's given the prayer. I was like, I know. I don't know why they picked me. I'm just some goofball that talks on the radio. But he's like, what are you going to pray about? And I was like, well, I'm going to pray for our enemies was part of it, right? And then pray for other good leaders and things like that, too. And then I talked with my wife. I was like, I wonder if that's going to be an unpopular topic. And then literally the song that we were singing there at the prayer breakfast was about, you know, in the presence of our enemies. But so many people don't want to say who the enemy is because we're not supposed to do that. We're just supposed to be nice and we're supposed to be a bunch of pushovers. It's like, no, this is America. That, you know, this render under Caesar that which is Caesar's. The Constitution is Caesar in America, not you, Joe, not Donald or anybody else. The Constitution is Caesar. Sorry, you got me fired up there.
Well, speaking of,
I want holy fear.
Identifying your enemy. If you follow me on Twitter, you'll see just about every day for the last however many years, I will have one tweet where I will show you the media is your enemy. If you want to mark enemies, never forget that.
By the way, I've been asked to pray at an event on Thursday. They want me to pray about the media, and I'm like, oh, man.
I'm going to text you that prayer.
Yeah, you got a prayer. I've got a guy filling in for me today. Meet John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter. All right.
I see in my vision a bulldozer.
Earmuffs, kids. Earmuffs. All right, let's go to Linda in Valier. Linda, thanks for the call. We're just about out of time. What's on your mind?
Good morning. I enjoy listening every Tuesday here on Shelby Radio.
Well, it's great to hear from you.
I'd like your listeners to be aware that they may be asked to sign petitions that can change Montana's constitution, and I'd like them to not sign it. CI 128 is one of those that provide the right for abortion with no restrictions, and that would be added to our constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several others that I just be aware of what you're signing.
Yeah, no, you're right. Our friend David Noble used a great line. I've heard Jeff Lasloffy with the Montana Family Foundation use this line as well. The line is this: when you see these people with these petitions trying to get these ballot initiatives on the ballot, decline to sign. It was a great summary, I thought.
Yes, I was trying to think of that.
Yeah, I love those one-liners because I'm not that smart, so I need to simplify things, you know, for yeah. myself. So.
There's quite a few initiatives, so...
They're trying to do the ranked choice voting, all sorts of crazy stuff. Linda, great to hear from you. We're just about out of time. I better give the final word to the Joker since he came all the way down here to join us and sidekick for a little bit. John, what's going on? You declined to sign? You agree?
Excellent point your caller just made. Absolutely. Particularly on that ranked choice voting. Absolutely no. Do not sign that. What that does is elect more Democrats and more rhinos. I had one of them approach me downtown the other day, and I just put up my finger like, go away. And the guy just went, shoo.
Yeah.
Hey, go away.
Yeah. I see your 5'11 tactical pants. I'm not going to bother that guy. Grandpa Lou's doing push-ups now.